me, ask you now to just pour out your will and your plan into our hearts. The words, Lord Jesus, that you are bringing forth from us, that they will not only just touch the individuals that are being called to hear, but to transform the hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Agreed? You know, sometimes when the Lord begins a work in us, we think it's for ourselves. How many know what I'm thinking about? My beginnings with God were, okay, Lord, I've got a couple of chores for you. And to be honest with you, a lot of times I expected, and I came to the church, and we were taught to come expecting. And you should be coming to the house of the Lord with an expectant heart to receive from God. However, my background was that God had a big stick, and that if I didn't behave, he would take the back of the shovel and readjust my thinking. Getting a clue? The God of love came into my life, and he began to shatter my expectations. And it's awesome that you should read John 3:16, because his love is what carries us from one level of understanding to another. His love is what is able to change us, because the stick doesn't do anything except chase me away. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It just pushes us out into the back door of deception, and we wonder, why was I even put on this earth? Why bother living? Why? And yesterday, the Lord was releasing a mighty anointing into Ludlow. It was a marvelous experience to watch God just bring his saints together and then minister to them. However, my expectations were not met. I had expectations. Now, you've heard me teach about expectations. I know how to give them to the Lord, but I also know how to take them home. My expectations were not met. I had expectations that something was going to take place, and it didn't happen my way. It didn't happen maybe in other people's ways either, but God was expounding what he wanted. He was releasing what he wanted. And I'm saying, oh Lord, when is such and such going to take place? And guess what? It didn't happen. And we started at 3 o'clock and we finished at 9 o'clock and it didn't happen. And I'm driving home and I'm saying, God, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give you thanks, because that's what I've learned to do, and to give you praise even if my expectations didn't happen. I said to the Lord, I would like to see what you really want from the body of Christ. And he had given me a vision at 12:30 the night before. And he confirmed it during the service yesterday. And I was very excited as the music was starting and the praise was going forward. And one person was anointed of God to go out and open the back door of that church. Or the front door, I should say. And they opened it up to the street. And the anointing of the saints was in intercession at that particular moment. And in other words, God's people were crying out for the city of Ludlow. Might even be a town, I'm not sure. Whatever. And as their worship was going forward, I'm now reminded of the scripture he gave me at 12:30 in the morning. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 3. And you don't really need to go there. You can just listen to what it says. It says, I will heal your backsliding. Whoa. I said, Lord, what backsliding? What are you talking about? Those that have left the church? He says, no, you. Me. How do I backslide? And I shared a little bit of this yesterday. I backslide when I go into unbelief. I backslide when I fear that God's not on the job, that he forgot me, I just fell off the edge of the world. You know, the world is flat sometimes, in my book. And I fell off the end, you know. Boop. And I'm in some dark hole, and he forgot all about me. Can anybody relate? Okay. As this was going on, I saw in the heavens, this is what I saw. I saw a vision. Standing in the midst of the sanctuary, and I'm watching in the heavens, and there's dark angels fighting over each other for territory. Because you see, we were one street away from my buddies, who's back into the heavens now, but his sister lived right next door to that church. And I can remember the very first time I went into that area with him to visit his sister, and we got out of the car, and he was Portuguese, and he was very prejudiced. And all this prejudice stuff was in my head. The Portuguese can't stand the French because they're across the street. The Irish can't stand the English. The Polish laugh at the French and the French laugh at the Polish. The black laugh at the whites and the whites laugh at the opposite, whatever. If we're not all the same, well, you Hispanics, in case you forgot, you're the big problem in this New England area. There. I heard a couple of amens. How do you like them apples? But yesterday, it was a Hispanic man and a Hispanic woman that were interceding for Ludlow. And they were interceding under the anointing of God, and they were not afraid to speak the truth. And the garbage had to fall. You see, that was the vision. And then, of course, I come in here this morning, and this incredible bread is on the table. Four different types, three different colors, spotty, don't look right, shaped all different, to be made into what? To be made into one. And I said, God, you're not letting go of this, are you? He said, I want this church of mine to be a house of prayer for all, nationalities. You see, the end times is nations fighting against nations, kingdoms fighting against kingdoms. After all, the King of England is better than all the others. The King of Spain is the best. Baloney. The King of Heaven. The King of Glory. What about him? Where is he resident? Where does he live? Come on, show me where he lives. He lives inside of me. The King of Glory is alive inside of me. And what does he want? What does he want out of me? What does the King of Glory want out of each and every single one of us? Cool. Good start. What else? Uh-huh. What else? Uh-huh. What else? Sounds good. What else? Become him in this earth. Not just the earth, this earth. That's the beginning. Okay? That is really the beginning. Now, some of you have already got your Bible out. Somebody with an amplified Bible, I want to look. Amplified, Ephesians 3:20. I don't care who you are. Just go to Ephesians 3:20. I want the Amplified. You see, because God is interested in changing us from what we were to what we need to become. What we were was different forms of selfish ways, different forms of selfish desires from every type of level that we are and from every type of background that we are. Marianne, you got it? Wait a sec, 1 second. I want this recorded. Go for it.
Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us.
That is at work where?
Within us.
That is at work where?
Within us.
Did you get it? Say, his workmanship is going on inside of me. Even as I speak, his workmanship is being done.
Is it him? Is able to carry out his purpose.
Carry out his purpose. Go on.
And do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Try it on. Read it one more time.
That was that part.
That part is okay. Good stuff.
That he is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Now, somebody better say amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because we have this idea that God is interested in destroying us. Well, he's trying to get rid of your old flesh and your old way of thinking. That part is true. But he's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to reconstruct you in the image of his son. What was the full-time job of his firstborn son? What did he do? He what? Bring new life? Did he go to funerals and leave them dead? Did he go to weddings and leave them die? Did he leave the party because they were serving too much wine? Yes. Now, wouldn't that be totally religious? Well, think about it. Most religious folks would definitely walk out on that particular miracle. Here's, by the way, the containers for that wedding at Cana that they used to bring water in were, do you know what they were? I've been to Israel. And I know what they are, okay? And our friend Dizzy from Israel showed us that in Israel, they collect all the rainwater. The roofs are flat, and there's a pipe that is actually leading out the outside of the house. And that water that falls from heaven goes into that particular big barrel made out of clay, okay? And there were five of those, if I remember correctly. And they were rainwater with the sediment in it. And that's what they filled the containers with, from that water that had fallen. Now, can you imagine the servants for that wedding bringing these jugs of rainwater, thinking, ha, 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 so what? This is what we got. This is what we bring. So God uses what you got. And those clay jars would have been about 4 or 5 feet high. And spoke the word over them. And then he says, why don't you take a sip? No, I'm teasing. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't tell the servants to take a sip. He said, bring a sample to whom? The master of ceremonies. And the master of ceremonies gets upset with them. Think about it. What is he doing with us right now? He's about to fill this earth with new wine. He's about to fill your living water and turn it into wine. Last night, after everything was done, and like I told you, I had those expectations that were still fluttering around in my brain. Tough cookies for the brain. And I went over and I gave Craig a hug, and as I'm praying with him, I can hear my spirit just jumping. And I began to giggle. And now we're both laughing. Because the joy of the Lord needed to be restored in both, because God had done what was needed to be done. And I know that all these expectations that maybe he had, that I might have had, changed. But God was forming a harmony between him and I again. And I could tell it was going deeper. And I'm looking forward to a possibility that he'll be with us Tuesday night. So pray that the Lord of heaven will have his way with Craig and all the circumstances that he's been through on this trip, because it's not been easy for him. But I can tell you this, definitely God will use it for his glory. God will use it to rebuild that which he wants in this area. And those nationality wars that I witnessed in the heavens. Because that particular scripture had a repentance to it. So I'd like you to come with me now to Jeremiah chapter 3. I will cure you of backsliding, verse 22. I didn't, by the way, give out the first part because it did not apply, and I don't want it to apply to you. So kind of skip return faithless people, because you are not faithless people. The word I got was, I will cure you of backsliding. Yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Verse 23. Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Who are the people of Israel? They're people of faith. They're people that believe that God has a plan for their life. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Put your hand up if you believe it. Let him do what he wants. It may not be your way. Amen? From your youth, shameful gods have consumed the fruits of our father's labor. Did you hear that? From my youth, shameful gods, in other words, demonic spirits, have used my fruits and the fruits of the labor of my fathers. They were what? They were what? They were consumed by whom? By the negative spirits. How many people have seen their whole lives given up to drugs? Given up to alcohol? Family members being alcoholics? What is that? That's somebody that's consuming their livelihood to what? What was the purpose? The enemy was stealing from families. If you want an extreme, I'll give you an extreme. And it happened in my own family. My grandfather, on my mother's side. By the way, he lived with us for a little while, so I got to know him quite well when he had been actually freed up from some of his bondage. But my grandfather was an alcoholic. He had 18 children with my grandmother. No two women in that side of the family, just one. 12 of those children lived for her. My mother's one of them. She's 91. And I'm letting you know that that weakness was passed on to my mother. And she went in and out of mental institutions for 17 years because she inherited that weakness. Okay? But here is the extreme that I want you to see. I want you to close your eyes because this happened. This is not make-believe. This is a truth. My grandmother had saved up enough money, allowing her children, when my mother was old enough to remember, all the children participated, and she went out and bought herself a sewing machine so that she could make clothes for the kids and for herself. My grandfather came home totally drunk and needed more money to get more booze, so he went out and he sold the sewing machine and he went out and got himself drunk for another week. How would you survive? Can you imagine that false god that wanted to use this man to destroy his own wife and her livelihood? And his own children, his own offspring, were robbed because of his selfishness to satisfy a lust for booze. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about my family. That man lived in my house when I was a little boy. And that bondage was transferred to my mother. And she lived that same space for 17 years of my life. And then Jesus came in. The Lord of glory entered her heart. 1977. That was the year that God decided to deliver mom and deliver me from an angry son, a bitter son, to one that would intercede for her and intercede for my dad. What am I saying to you? This robbery may have been going on in your family. This robbery may still be going on in your hearts because of the weaknesses of the fathers that are passed on to the children. Yoo-hoo! Those weaknesses need to be stopped somewhere. Amen? Let's go back to this word. Verse 24, from our youth, shameful gods have consumed the fruits of our father's labor. Their flocks and herds, their sons and their daughters. Do you think this is make-believe? That robbery of my family using alcohol, stealing from my family, stealing from my mom and her family, stealing from me and my children. Here's the solution. Let us lie down in our shame and let our disgrace cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our fathers. Oh, I said, wait a minute, Lord. You're going right back to the priesthood, aren't you? He said, yes. Take on the sins of those that don't know any better. Take on the sins of those that consumed everything that should have come to you that was stolen. It was stolen. Okay? What kind of life would you be in if your fathers had not failed and served foreign gods? What would be the change of you right now? Where would you be? What would be your lifestyle? How would your heart feel? If you had been brought up in a house full of love and compassion and mercy, what would be the change? How would you act and react with your own children? Do you want it to continue for another generation? Then the buck stops where? Right here. The solution is to take on the sins of the fathers. Carry them to the cross. Lift them up to Jesus. Take his spiritual blood. Sprinkle it on their sin and on our own. Because you know what? We're guilty of judging them. Yoo-hoo! Every time I see what I've missed, I think of the 17 years of robbery. Oh, 17 years is a long time to rob. And all that robbery did was consume me with anger. And while I was angry, do you think what was happening was good to me? I was heading in the same direction using the same demon. And guess what? There was a day where God said to me, the demons that are killing your parents is the demons that are killing you. And I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And when he told me pride, oh man, you know, I wanted to get out of the car and just put my head in the sand. They were so proud they couldn't admit their sin. And I was so proud because they were making me ashamed of walking with them or even having the same name. I wanted to change my name. I could have. It would have been wonderful. What a wonderful idea, straight from hell. You think that's true? How many of you would have liked to change their names because of the embarrassment of somebody in their family tree? Pretty ugly, isn't it? Think about it. Changing your name so that you'd be a little more comfortable in your proud, arrogant status. Oh, wonderful. Don't ever underestimate God's allowing hardship to come into your life. Don't ever underestimate that those hardships were designed to get you to be humble and to cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, bring salvation into my house. Bring salvation into me. Bring salvation into my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And don't let them be caught under the same anointing that I lived in for years. And all of God's people said, whoa, boy, you were with me this morning, huh? By the way, I'm preaching. Did you notice? Verse 25, I want to go back. Let us lie down in our shame. Let our disgrace cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our fathers, from our youth till this day. We have not obeyed the Lord our God. Now look at the returns, chapter 4, verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. If you will put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just, and righteous way you swear, as surely as the Lord lives, these nations will be blessed by him, and in him they will glory. And it goes on with more blessings. By the way, chapter 4 would not have been in the original letter. It would have just been one letter. There's so much more that he wants to do for us. So much more that we've ever, ever conceived. If we would just believe that he has a plan to save us from all those things that we thought hopeless. For years, I really believed it was hopeless. I mean, you know, it got to be so difficult that whenever I would even consider going to a family gathering, like a wedding or a funeral, funerals I kind of pushed myself, but weddings, are you kidding? If I knew my father and mother were going, guess where I was going? I was going to be busy. I was definitely going to be busy. I didn't want to be associated. I didn't care which member of the family would be offended. Because I wasn't going to go through any more of that cotton-picking pain and shame. I wasn't going to do it. You know, it's no fun when you think that you'd like to see your parents dead. I'm serious. But I lived a season of that. I said, Lord, if you don't change them or me, take me home, take them home, do something! And guess what he did? He crashed into my heart. He crashed into my heart. Because you know why? I was angry, but I was honest. I was angry because, you know, it didn't change. It was year after year after year, the same old story, and more deception and more lies. Am I picking on mom? No. Am I picking on my grandfather? No. But they were deceived. They were serving a different God than the one that wanted to bless them. He could not bless them. They were in idolatry. They had a great big idol. Guess what his name was? He had three names. Two. Close. How about me, myself, and I? Jack Daniels is a good guess. It was me, myself, and I. It was all about them. It was all about getting rid of the pain in their hearts. I understood it because I tried the booze to see if I could eliminate the pain. Guess what? I couldn't even get drunk. I couldn't. This one night, this is no lie. This is not a lie. I am sitting in my cellar. I had a little bar downstairs. And I decided I was going to stop the pain. I had a water glass full of solid booze. And you know what? I didn't feel a thing. I couldn't even sleep. Disgusted. Tried a half a glass again, and it still didn't work. What was I doing? I was trying to escape the pain. And you know, I couldn't do it. And God says to my heart, because I had accepted him as Lord. I had knelt down and I had said, Lord, take over. But you know what? I didn't believe he cared about me. I really didn't care what I did to myself at that point. You know, there are times that we get so desperate. We'll try anything to stop the pain. How many have ever visited that place? Put your hand way up and look around. Look around. You know why you're here, don't you? Can you relate to what I'm saying? Then if you can relate, you can relate to the one that can set you free. Put your Bibles down. We need to stand. Would you close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven? Say, Lord Jesus, my family tree is full of idols. Lots of idols. Lots of false worship. Lot of selfishness. Lot of pride. Lot of deception. And a lot of stealing going on. Today, it comes to an end. I confess their sin. And I confess my sin. Because I judged. I found fault with them. And it fell back right in my face. Forgive me, Lord. I accept the blood of Jesus Christ to wash me clean. Wash my family. Even those that are on the other side. Even if they're with you, Lord. I ask that you hold no sin against them. I'm looking forward to a celebration where they will be free from all idolatry. And don't let go of me till you get the idols out of my life. All of them. I don't want any more of them. I want to serve the living God, the one that would take his son, release him into the earth, let him become the Son of Man, and then die on a tree. Just for me. Just for me. Thank you for your blood, Lord, to wash away my sin. Because I am a born again believer. My spirit is full of your life. And it will shatter the darkness. And it won't stop till I look just like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. And don't let go till I'm all clean. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to the Most High God. He began a good work in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person that you brought this morning. And I thank you that those that are listening to this prayer would be able to have the courage to say it again. So if you need to back it up and listen to this message again, get on the wagon. Get on the wagon to get to heaven with purity in your heart. And let him be used over and over to deliver you. Because it's going to come piece by piece by piece. And all of God's people said, and amen.